Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, lovely to see all of you. I can even see some smiles. This is good. My name is Martin. That's my full name, but I'm usually called Mato, which is shorter, M-A-T-O. I am married, so I'm a husband. Let's start there. And I promise my wife knows that I am married to her. Her name is Anna. She's the loveliest person ever. Okay, she's just the best. You should just meet Anna, all of you. Yeah. Yeah, but she decided if Tony wasn't going to take Sandra, then I wasn't going to bring Anna, so here we are. The other thing is I genuinely have looked forward to being a part of the service here, not just to speak, but to be a part of the service, because I'm just part of the lifestyle that happens at Beckenham consistently, and I am here so many hours of the week than I am at my own house, so it's good to actually be part of a Sunday morning service. Now, I just want you to turn to your neighbor quickly, and I want you to share one thing that you're really thankful for, okay? Just one thing that you're thankful for today. Yeah, well, yeah, you genuinely need a neighbor. Yeah. All right. I can see. Now, do we all have something we are thankful for sure? All right. Sammy?
I'm thankful for being here today.
You are thankful for being here. That's amazing. Yeah, that is pretty cool. Yeah. And, yes?
Your home.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so good. Yep.
I'm helping people with their tires.
You're helping people with their tires?
Yeah.
Please see me after this. I need tires. Yeah.
Thanks, Lord, for meeting up with my 18-year-old granddaughter this morning, just before church.
18-year-old granddaughter, that's amazing. Yeah. Oh. Oh, that's lovely. Isn't that amazing? Okay, one last person. Yep. Making for hot drinks for everybody. Okay, that's amazing. That's totally true. Now, today we're going to talk about ingratitude, okay, for a few minutes. And so here's the thing, ingratitude is, or rather, being thankful is something that we all have in us. Okay, we know that, right? You kind of feel thankful all the time because of what people have done for you, who you are. So it's intuitive. It's something that is in us. However, here's the thing. When it comes to expressing that gratitude, it's a whole new world. Okay, so you may feel thankful, but saying it is not always intuitive. So you usually don't say it out loud as often as we should. Okay, now, the thing with being thankful or not being thankful for that matter, if we withhold gratitude, okay, if we don't say we are thankful or if we genuinely feel that we are saying thank you but we don't say it out loud, do you know what happens? A gap is created. Okay, and the gap is you were supposed to say thank you, but you didn't say it, and then the other person kind of expected it but didn't, and now there's this awkward thing of you should have said thank you, but then again, I can't tell you to say thank you, all right? It undermines the integrity of a relationship if you don't learn how to say thank you, all right? In fact, I would say this. This is ideally what I would say. Being thankful is actually very detrimental to a relationship if you're not careful or not being thankful, okay? Ingratitude has the potential to actually determine the direction, not only the direction of a relationship, but also the quality of a relationship. Does that make sense? If you cannot say thank you, or if you don't learn how to say it, your relationship will suffer. But if you learn how to say it, then it gets better and better. Okay, here's the other thing. If you don't say thank you, if you don't learn how to say thank you, do you know what you tell people? You're telling people, I see you, but I don't recognize you, and I don't see what you've done. Okay, that's basically what you do if you don't learn how to say thank you. All right, now let's flip this, and let me say this. There are few things that are more uncomfortable than when you feel that you should be thanked by someone, but you don't want to bring it up. Okay, does that make sense? Yeah, like you want to You want to tell someone, but you should have been thankful. You know, you should have said thank you. You should have said something. But then you can't, okay? And if you've ever tried it, okay, I've tried this before. It went really badly, okay? So you go to someone and say, I feel that you should have been more appreciative of what I did, okay? And then, of course, they'll say, oh, I am very sorry, isn't it? I should have said thank you, okay? But this is what you hear. You hear, I'm so sorry, little baby who needs constant reassurance and affirmation. That's what you hear in yourself, okay? Because it's very awkward when you're trying to tell someone, I would like you to tell me thank you. It kind of beats the purpose of saying thank you. All right. So the last thing about all this, and everything I'm saying here is just true, okay? Whether you're a Christian or not, whether you believe that God exists or not, as long as you live in this world, this is just true, okay? Or this is just the reality of the world that we live in, okay? The thing is, ingratitude looms large when you're the victim, okay? When someone doesn't say thank you to you, you feel it. However, the other person who didn't say thank you, they don't even know. Okay, if anything, they're going around their blissful life happy and unknowing that they're making you feel so much pain in your spirit. That is so sad, right? I have a friend, I would actually call him my best friend, but he's a guy, so let's just call it friends, okay? For now, I've known him for a very long time. And this guy, he lives in New Zealand. He lives in Nelson. He's a really good friend of mine. Twice, maybe even three times, we've gone to Kenya together or at the same time. So we've been in Kenya. I'm from Kenya, by the way. So we've gone to Kenya to visit family together. And I have lent him my car. Sorry, I don't have a car in Kenya. My mother has lent him her car, okay? And this guy, literally every time, he finds a way to trash the car. Okay, I think the first time he put it in a ditch. I don't even understand how he put the car in a ditch, but somehow the car ended up in a ditch. Okay, and he said, I am sorry. But then again, he didn't even fix it. And we forgave him. The second time, what happened the second time? I think the bumper came off. It's just very weird. The bumper came off, and again, he said, I'm sorry. And he didn't do anything about it. Now, the third time, this, I think, was the worst one. He literally parked the car and I was like, oh, it's in one piece. This is good. And I could breathe a sigh of relief. But just before I was about to leave, I just looked closely and I could see there was dents and it was really dirty and it was just really bad. And I just kept thinking to myself, are you not appreciating what we are doing here? Is something wrong with you? But you know, you can't say that, right? Yeah, so the third time I was like, perhaps we should talk about how you treat cars, okay? It's actually not being well. All right, remember, if you're not being grateful, you're leaving a mark on someone's life. Okay, if you're, and here's the thing, guys, not saying it out loud doesn't count. If you're grateful, you have to say it out loud. Because you know why? Being taken for granted is the most dehumanizing thing. Imagine when someone, when they're next to you, they always feel that they're taken for granted. Again, that will ruin the relationship. Okay, one last thing, and then we'll move into the Bible, you know, because we're in church, and that's why we came today. An expressed gratitude is experienced by the other person as ingratitude. So if you don't say it, guess what they think? Or guess what the other person thinks? And that's not because the other person is wrong. It's just because our hearts and how we are made, we gravitate towards recognition and gratitude as human beings. So if you want to be appreciated, there's nothing wrong with you. Okay? It's just human nature. Now, today we're going to look at a story that Luke wrote. Okay, now, Luke steps into the pages of history as a doctor or a physician. Before he was a doctor, he was actually a slave. All right? However, because he was such a good guy and he was such a good slave, he had a very good master. His master's name was Theophilus, okay? And the master actually saw so much potential in Luke that he made him study to be a physician. That's what they called them in that era. Now, today we would call them doctors. So Luke goes away, studies, and comes back and starts treating the other slaves in the household. So we never hear Luke as a slave. We only hear him as a physician. And here's the cool thing about Luke. Luke was a skeptic. of Jesus Christ initially. Okay, and this is what makes this so much fun. Because when Luke started investigating the story of Jesus, he thought to himself, this is just another random guy who thinks he's the Messiah. Okay, in fact, when he started, Luke was so skeptical, he didn't know what he would expect. But as he continued to investigate what had happened and the events around Jesus, he discovered this guy was the real deal. And he decided to write what we call the book of Luke, but it's really not a book. It was just a document put together where Luke went out with doctor's eyes and actually carefully investigated everything that had happened during the time of Jesus. And this is how Luke starts the book of Luke as we read it. It says, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us. In other words, I'm not the first. I'll probably not be the last. There's many people who are writing what has happened. There are many people who are writing about the story of Jesus. Just as they were handed to us by those from who are the first eyewitnesses. I wasn't there when it was happening, but I met Peter, I met James, I met John. And when I met them, they told me that they had seen the Savior. Okay? And this is what they told me. Okay, and so Luke says, with this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I am going to write an orderly account so that you know with certainty that these things have been taught. In other words, Luke is saying, I wasn't there, but I saw the people who were with Jesus. Everything that I'm going to write, anyone who was with Jesus has told me. And I went and investigated. Okay, so this is all about Luke. All right, I diverted a bit. Here we go. Today's story. All right, here we go. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. We're in Luke 17, if you're following along. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance. Okay, so if you thought social distancing was a new thing, nah, leprosy was serious. Okay, people who had leprosy had to stay out of the city. Okay, and we'll get to that in a minute. All right, they stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Okay, and then, of course, Jesus is at the distance. He shouts something back. Okay, and he's like, what are you saying? Have pity on us. So can you imagine this exchange happening? All right, I usually put maps so that you can actually see this is real. This is not just a make-believe story. Okay, if you can look at the map, you can see where Galilee is, right? And you can see Samaria, and you can see Judea. Jerusalem is down. Okay, so just think of Jerusalem being down. And there is a line that is kind of orangish. So that's kind of where Jesus was. He's in the border between Jewish and Samaritan territory. Jews and Samaritans hate each other. Hated. Don't think they exist today, but they hated each other. Now, you may not like someone, but for Jews and Samaritans, it was bad. Do you know how bad it is? They never even wanted to touch each other, be associated with each other, or even go into each other's towns. If a Jew was going somewhere, he went round Samaria. It was really, really bad. So anyway, back to the story. When he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priests. Okay, and so there's distance here. I usually tell people read the Bible with some form of creativity. Okay, so Jesus is standing far, and everyone is like, Jesus, have pity on us, you know. And Jesus is like, Joshua, go show yourself to the priests. And they're like, what did he say? Go swim somewhere? Anyway, yeah, so this is going on, but apparently they had each other. And as they went, they were cleansed. Okay, this is cool. In fact, in one of the translations, it says, as they went, they were made whole. Okay, now we don't know when this happened. Okay, because here's the other thing that is in play here. One, the lepers lived by themselves. You know why? Because leprosy was considered highly contagious. Now, today, because of the miracle of medicine and hospitals, leprosy has been cured. Okay, fun fact. There's about 20 million people who've been cured of leprosy. So that's totally amazing, isn't it? Now, in that culture, Leprosy was not curable, or it was deemed not curable. So what happened is, if you had leprosy, and leprosy wasn't painful, okay, what would happen is that you'd have really bad sores, okay, and eventually the sores would get so bad that body parts would start to fall out. Okay, and so if you had leprosy, everyone shunned you. Everyone. And so what you had to do is that you had to go out of the city, and you actually had to live by yourself. So these lepers came together and actually lived in their own communities because no one wanted them. And if you needed anything from the village, you had to warn people that you were coming. In fact, in some instances, you had to put on a bell. Okay, so that when you were walking, there would be a bell. Can you imagine how dehumanizing that was? Okay, that you had to put on a bell. So that if you're coming and people hear that you're coming, they can vacate the village for a few hours and then they'll come back. Leprosy was really bad, okay? Not only that, these guys literally stood aside as everyone else lived their life. Everyone else watched them and shunned them. And they watched, they were really sad spectators. There was genuinely no life for them. If you're a leper, that's it. So this, what Jesus is doing here, was an amazing, amazing miracle. Now, both Jews and Samaritans who had leprosy lived together. Okay, remember, Jews and Samaritans hate each other. Now, this is kind of a side point, but I thought I would say this because I just felt that this is important for us to hear. People who hate each other so much come together when hard things happen. Now, isn't it amazing that pain, suffering, and alienation has a way of minimizing our differences and maximizing our common, what we have in common? Like, when we go through something together that is really hard, we are able to actually do it together regardless of race, political affiliation, or even religion. Isn't it amazing that suffering brings people together? Because in this case, those Jews and those Samaritans among the lepers. Okay, and they didn't care because they had pain. They had a common pain. Anyway, that was, again, a side point. All right, Jesus says, go show yourself to the local priests. Okay, now again, it's one of those things where we read and we think, oh, I don't know what that means. We will quickly skip over. Now, before you quickly skip over, let me tell you what this meant. In every village, there was a local priest, and the priest is the only person who had the right to give everyone a clean bill of health. Okay? I don't know why they didn't use the doctors, but here we are. But you go to the priest, and the priest will consider you fit for. I don't know what they did. Maybe they told you, open your mouth. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, that happened. Now, if the priest is going to give you a clean bill of health, and then 10 lepers or 10 people who are lepers come, now, one is okay, two, maybe we can kind of put it down to, maybe it would have been a miracle. Imagine if 10 people show up in the village and they're like, we've been healed. Even the priest himself would have been like, who did this? And that was kind of what Jesus was trying to do. Okay? Jesus was trying to announce his ministry because he was headed to Jerusalem. This is almost at the time where persecution is about to start for Jesus. But just before he gets there, he decides to do this. And third, which is really important for all of us today, okay, this is really, really important. Imagine how much faith it takes for the lepers to start walking before anything has happened. Okay, remember, they were out of the village. It may have taken them 3 days, maybe four, maybe one day. But they had to turn and start walking. We don't know when the healing happened. Maybe as they walked, one sore went away, and then they walked, one sore went away. We don't know. We just don't know. It just so happened that as they were walking, they were cleansed. Maybe it happened just before they got to the village. Maybe it happened 2 hours later. We don't know. We don't have that specific detail. What we know is that these lepers actually stepped out in faith, which is really amazing and a show of who Jesus was in their life. Now, this is where this story starts to intersect with us, okay? And this is where we shake our heads at the other nine, but if you look closely, we might be the other nine. Okay, because one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet, feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. The outcast, the one who didn't think he had eternal life, the one who didn't think that he deserved it, came back and said, thank you. Jesus asked, were not all cleansed, all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? In fact, if you read this in the Greek, it's like Jesus says, the other 10? Where? You know, that's how it feels like in the Greek. It's probably like Jesus was like, excuse me, do I not have enough power? There was 10, now there's 1. What's going on here? Okay, and here's what he continues to say. Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said, rise up and go. Your faith has made you whole. Let me ask you something. Do you think the other 9 were thankful? Genuinely, do you think the other 9 were thankful? They were. I think they were 100% thankful. They just had gotten their lives back. They could go back, see their family. They could go back, have their trade. They could go back and live their own lives. However, they felt it. They did not express it. And that was the difference. All right, 3 take-homes. Okay, and then we are done. 1, unexpressed gratitude communicates ingratitude. If you ever thought you needed to thank someone and you haven't, you're not thankful. Ouch. Feelings don't count. Words do. Okay? Because if you're not saying it, then you're like the other 9 who are really thankful, but really they didn't say anything. Okay? The other thing is, ingratitude feels like rejection. And we know this. When you do something for someone consistently and they are never thanking you, then you always feel like you're being rejected. Let me tell you what doesn't count, especially if you're married, okay, married men and women, who, by the way, I have no place to give any marriage advice because you've been married way longer than me, okay? But just listen to this and do whatever you want with it. Bragging about your spouse to other people doesn't count either. Oh, you should meet my wife, she's amazing. Or you should meet my husband, he's amazing. Doesn't count. You have to tell them first, then go brag, okay? Yeah, do both. Okay, now, because we all gravitate towards acceptance. The third thing is, and this is just a bit more pinchy to all of us. Maybe the reason you can't say thank you, or maybe the reason you can't say that you're thankful for something, is probably because you have an inflated view of yourself. And you think you deserve it. Or you think you earned it. Or you think it's all about you. All right. If you're not grateful, you're probably arrogant. Okay. Arrogance and ingratitude are generally found under the same rock. So if you can't say thank you, if you can't bring yourself to actually say, I am thankful to something, maybe you need to check your spirit. Okay. Now, everything I have said is applicable to everyone. The next part is only applicable to people who call themselves Christ followers. Okay? Therefore, if you're in church today and you're kind of thinking about this Christian thing, you're not sure, this is going to be fun. Just stand back and watch the Christians just squirm a bit. Okay? Here we go. Ingratitude shows that you have a low view of God. Okay, again, if you're not Christian, this doesn't apply to you. Do your own thing. In fact, take what I have said and use it in your own way. However, if you call yourself a Christ follower, okay, this is probably the most important thing. Okay, because listen to how Paul puts it. Paul says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not, along with all things, generously give us all things? Who can bring any charge against us? Guys, when we were sinners, when we did not know the way, Christ reached out, God reached out in form of Christ and died for our sins and has promised to do even more than that. How can we not be grateful? as Christ followers. That when we were sinners, when we didn't know that we were in a really bad place, God in his grace and in his mercy reached out and pulled you out of it and sent his son to die on the cross. That in itself should make you grateful for every other thing in this world, regardless of how bad it is. So before we start complaining, before we give our opinions and views on everything, before we think we deserve all that it is we do have, remember, the only reason we can sit here in confidence is because God actually loved us enough to die for our sins. And that should inform how grateful we are for every other person in this world, regardless of their status, regardless of their place, and regardless of what you think about them. Gratitude is shown because we show gratitude to God for dying for our sins. So here we go. Last questions. Who has helped you move forward and have you thanked them? Who helps you move forward even now and have you thanked them? And maybe the last question is more personal, but who in your life feels a bit alienated because you have not been saying thank you as you should? Do you have something that is in your heart that's making you not say thank you? Yeah, that's probably a good place to start. And as I finish, I would like to say, I am really, really, really in debt of gratitude for Beckenham Baptist Church, because Beckenham Baptist Church has had a lot to do with Hallsville Community Church. We literally have only been going for a year and a half, and our biggest supporters in everything you can ever think about is Beckenham Baptist. Beckenham Baptist Church and its members have literally helped us as Hallsville Community Church move forward. Okay, and just as the guy went back and said, Lord, you did heal me. This is me coming back and saying, thank you for helping us move forward. Your prayers and support do not go unnoticed or unanswered. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we worship you so much for this morning. We thank you because you died for us. And after your death and resurrection, people came along and they documented all these events that one day we would be sitting here and reading awesome accounts of who you are. Not only awesome, but extraordinary miracles of who you are. Thank you, Lord, for preserving this ancient piece of literature that we call the Book of Luke that has withstood the test of time, withstood centuries, and we can actually stand here and sit here and gain not only inspiration, but practical application from it. Thank you, Father, for everyone who's here this morning. Thank you for everyone who feels that they need to say thank you to someone. Thank you for everyone who feels that someone needs to say thank you to them as well. Thank you, Father, for bringing us to this space where we can actually be very thankful for who you are. And do that by going out and being thankful for the people who are in our lives. So Lord, as we go out today, give us a chance and give us the courage and give us the patience to actually say thank you to the people in our lives who we know that we know we need to thank. In Jesus' holy and mighty name do we pray and believe. Amen.